Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and this is episode 130 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? I don't know if 130 is a milestone, but it's pretty good. It's a good run. So thanks for listening. I appreciate it. I am in Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm working at a great club called Good Nights this weekend. I have to say, Raleigh is one of those cities that, you know, it's just a beautiful city. It's big, but not too big. The weather's beautiful. It's about 65, 68 degrees outside. You know, this is just a great city, one of those great quality of life cities. Major universities here, North Carolina, North Carolina State, and Duke are right here in what they call the Research Triangle, which gives a city brilliance and diversity and just everything you'd want. This is pretty cool. If I had to be in the South, Raleigh ain't a bad place to be. And I have to tell you right now, I just looked at how I'm recording my podcast. So I'm cooked up to my MacBook Air. That's what I record on. And I'm reading stories off my new giant iPad. And I really feel like I should be sitting at a Starbucks, shouldn't I? You've seen this at Starbucks when people come in, buy one cup of coffee, set up the office, and sit there all day. Hell, I've seen people literally doing job interviews at Starbucks. So I guess I should find one and record the podcast there. Be a little bit of background noise, but I'd be fitting in. All right, that's enough of that. Let me get into it. And you know, this is one of those deals that I have to talk about it. The only reason I don't want to talk about the San Bernardino shooting and the shooters and the aftermath, and it's because it's been the 24/7 nonstop news cycle since it happened. Now we know that the two shooters, I'm still vague on what we know, because there's like been so much news that there's no news. I get to that point where it's just an oversaturation. But from what I gather, they were, let's call them radicalized Muslims. They weren't necessarily members of ISIS, but they liked ISIS. They read ISIS stuff online. And the reason I say they weren't ISIS is because normally when ISIS does a terrorist act, ISIS comes out and says, this was our thing. You know, that was the deal in Paris and so on. But these people were obviously in that category, okay? And I joked about Fox News last week, and I'm not going to say that Fox News was right or ahead of the curve, but maybe they were. I don't even know. I just know that all of the talk, it's very predictable. Okay, here's the cycle. We have the Muslim shooting, or any kind of mass shooting, but in this case, it's another Muslim shooting. This was compared to the shooting at Fort Hood, and I think that's probably the most accurate comparison. Anyway, then President Obama makes a speech, and his speech is one, first of all, trying to calm people down, because the media will scare the hell out of you out of a mass shooting. As we all know, this is, they love cashing in on the fear, because fear is ratings, and that's the business they're in. So they do that. Then Barack Obama comes out with a speech, and basically he says, this is terrible, it happened again. But, you know, part of the, he lists the problems we have, definitely dealing with terrorism and radicals, but also not all Muslim people are bad. He happened to mention there are some great Muslim athletes, and there's a reason I brought that up. And he'll talk some about guns. And then Fox News and the right wing will come out and say Barack Obama's soft on terrorism. He did get bin Laden, just saying. But anyway, they'll say he's soft on terrorism. This time they had Stacey Dash. I don't know why Stacey Dash is a news pundit talking head. Stacey Dash, if you don't remember, was the black girl in the movie Clueless. That was it. That was her credit. So she went on Fox and Friends or one of their shows, and she called Barack Obama a pussy. And Fox suspended her a couple of days. And they do this with a wink and a nod, because believe me, if they got a black person who will talk out against Barack Obama, they are not getting rid of him for too long. But Stacey's, I'm not going to call her an idiot, uninformed. I don't know what the hell she is. Enough. But anyway, My point being that this is the cycle. We've been through the cycle before. We'll go through the cycle again. What do we add to the cycle now? Donald Trump. Yeah, we have to, now we have to, you know, and this is like years ago, and they still once in a while will go back to her, but they don't need Sarah Palin anymore because Trump is more crazy, more extreme, and they love it. So, of course, Donald Trump comes out with a speech saying that, you know, Barack Obama is soft, that we should ban all Muslims from coming into the country. And he's like, but I don't hate all Muslims. He said, I have some Muslim friends, you know, that they always have friends, right? And then he said, what Muslim athletes? That was the beauty of it. What Muslim athletes? Oh, I don't know. Muhammad Ali and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, two of the greatest and most famous athletes of all time, happen to be Muslim. I laugh because Trump's idiocy, Trump's plan, Trump's publicity campaign knows no bounds. And it works because we've been talking about him ever since he said it. And that's no mistake. What's interesting is now, and who knows where he is on the polls. One poll said he lost 10 points. Another poll said he's higher than ever. I think it was interesting that he called out like this whole hate speech against Muslims. He did it at a rally in South Carolina. And I said it, this on my Facebook page, this is a daily double. When you combine hate with South Carolina, well, you know, it's like a home and home. It's a home and home sports series, right? Anyway, did he go too far? The Tea Party is sort of upset with Donald Trump, but see, it's hard for them, like, because they have to continue to endorse their racism for to keep their base energized, but they also have to, it's a fine line. We have to have racism, but can't have too much racism. Now we've got our Muslim racism now, not to be confused with our Mexican racism and our always healthy black racism with that president still in the White House. And you gotta, it's difficult when you're balancing your racism against different races and still trying to not sound as crazy as Donald Trump. So the Tea Party wasn't too happy with Donald Trump. So, for example, Senator Ben Sasse from Nebraska, now he said, and the beautiful thing is you still, you know, Trump's crazy, but you still have to blame Obama. So what he said was, he didn't mention Trump by name, okay, but he said, the people who are supposed to be laser focused on defending the American people mouth silly platitudes that show we're either too weak or too confused to keep our people safe. That would be the reference to Barack Obama. Then a megalomaniac strongman steps forward and he starts screaming about travel bans and deportation and offering promises, which some, and I think actually to many more, those of us in this body seem to understand, will sound much better than not being protected at all. So what he's saying is that because Obama's so weak, Trump gets some traction. Then we have Dave Brat, a Republican from Virginia, who says you got to be very careful on the lines of thought when you're conveying these lines to the media. That's the right way to go is just talk about overseas threats and quantifying those. And this is a good one here. I'm going to stop with this one. I'm not reading the whole article. Randy Hultgren, an Illinois Republican who won his seat in the 2010 Tea Party wave, said, singling out any faith community for the actions of extremists is not conservative. It's hostile to our founding. Okay, and I got to do one more. Penny Nance, who heads the Concerned Women for America. Who names these groups? She said Trump's decision to single out Muslims for extra scrutiny undermines the principles of religious freedom that protect other religious minorities, a category that includes, in her opinion, evangelical Christians. Because you know those Christians are definitely that persecuted minority in this country. Holy shit. No pun intended, but holy shit. So has Trump gone too far? Some would say yes, but others, there was another editorial I read that said they love Donald Trump. The Republicans love Donald Trump because he could save the Republican Party because the Republican Party has to come together to show that they're not as radical and crazy as him. The Republican Party has to get back on point, and they realize that because they've been pushing this hatred and racism, and so, in other words, they created Donald Trump, right? They created this whole, you know, we accept racism with a wink and a nod, and keep these people out of our country or that people out of our country. These are all the Republican messages, okay? Building walls, building fences, keeping out a certain group of people. That's all the Republican. And now they've created the monster, Frankenstein, and Frankenstein is out. And he's walking around and he's giving speeches in South Carolina. So this other editorial is saying that that's good because now the Republicans will see what they've done and they have to correct it. I don't know. I don't know. I don't care. You know, I don't care. I don't think Donald Trump wants to be president. I think Donald Trump wants to sell books, wants to make money. He's doing that. He's building a name. He's got the whole world listening to him. Oh, he's not going to Israel now. Israel kind of doesn't want him there. Imagine that. But you can't take any... It's weird. Like, you can't take this seriously, but at the same time, It's seriously scary how many people do support and agree with Donald Trump. He's still got that white supremacist vote going for him. Now, okay, I'm going to get out of it. I'm going to get out of the whole Donald Trump thing. I hate giving him publicity and talking. I'll tell you who else likes mass shootings. The gun business. The gun business doesn't like mass shootings. The gun business loves mass shootings, okay? I was reading an article about this. The gun industry admits that business booms after mass shooting. And this isn't just, you know, the manufacturer. This is manufacturer. This is sales. This is everything, okay? And the reports are coming out. These are things that they say in their shareholder meetings, which are not open to the public, but the record becomes public record. So, Ed Stack, chief executive of Dick's Sporting Goods, which sells a lot of guns, says that the gun business was very much accelerated based on what happened after the 2012 election. That would be Barack Obama being reelected. And then a tragedy that happened at Sandy Hook. You remember the kids getting shot at school. Hey, kids might get shot, some bitch, but this is America, and that's good for business. And business, what counts? NASCAR. Jeff Buchanan, the CFO of Smith & Wesson, said you can see after a tragedy there's a lot of buying, okay? And on and on. Tailwinds of Prof. Cabela's didn't blink. Cabela's another store, line of stores that sells guns. Basically, they said others stopped selling AR-15s. You know, they said, well, as a result of others stopped selling the AR-15, we got a lot of new customers, and so on and so on. So it's good for it. And what's going on in now, I'll tell you what's going on in San Bernardino. They are selling a hell of a lot of guns. The gun stores in San Bernardino, after this mass shooting, have increased their stock of weapons, including semi-automatic weapons, and they're selling a lot of guns. So make no mistake. Make no mistake that these people care about these mass shootings, all right? Mass shootings are good for business. They're great for business. There is even now, and I'll tell you, there's NRA TV now. That's right. There is NRA TV. They have a online TV channel, and In 2014, NRA unveiled plans to launch its own television network, a series of programs available anytime, anywhere on your computer. NRA News, the most comprehensive video coverage of Second Amendment issues. Second Amendment, Constitution, some bitch, you better know that Second Amendment give us the right to bear arms, including that we need semi-automatic rifles to open carry to the supermarket, because you never know when some bitch terrorist might be in the supermarket. NASCAR. So they have you know, obviously a bunch of right wing talk led by Wayne LaPierre, the voice of the NRA. They talk about guns and they talk more about their gun rights that are being attacked. And then they have Love at First Shot, which is where sexy young women learn to shoot firearms for the first time at the instruction of other sexy young women. You know what? Good for them. Honestly, good for them. They're using this. They're cashing in. It's what they do. And I'm not mad at them. You know why? Because it is our society. Our society accepts it. Our society loves it. We pretend we care and we don't. All right. I'm going to stop. I'm done. I'm not talking about this anymore this week. Who knows what might happen next week? Let's go into sports because, you know, I love sports. There's a movie coming out called Concussion. I don't know if you've heard about this movie. It stars Will Smith, and it is about concussions in the NFL. And it is a story of Dr. Bennett Omalu, who discovered and publicized the issue of chronic traumatic encephalopathy, brain trauma from repeated hits to the head. Okay, sorry about that. Kind of maybe I've taken a hit to the head myself and I can't talk, but this Dr. Omalu discovered this, and Will Smith stars in this movie, and here we are again. Good old ESPN, the sports leader, screwing it up again. Adam Schefter, and this is what kills me about news, and sports does it too, when the host of one show interview the host of another show as if that's an important person. So Adam Schefter, who is an ESPN football guy, goes on Mike and Mike, the ESPN morning show. Mike and Mike talked about this show, and one of the mics is an ex-football player, and he does have an interesting take, and his take is basically, yes, football is dangerous, but it's up to the parents. There's no absolute. In other words, we shouldn't ban football for kids, but we shouldn't say they go out there and kill each other either. They, you know, it's up to the parents, and they got to use safety equipment, and there's extra padding to go around helmets for kids, and so on, you know. He also speaks with the expertise of someone who's been there, and he said that the equipment changed even over the course of his career and became much better toward the end. And the big problem we have with concussions in football is, look, this is big business, and we know, we meaning anybody, knows that the NFL doesn't care. You think they care about the players? Look, players are a disposable commodity. You play, most people play for 2.3 years, some make it 4 or 5 years. On occasion, you get the Peyton Manning or the Charles Woodson who lasts forever. But there's going to be a lot of hits in the head. There are going to be a lot of concussions. And when you're done, you're done. And a lot of these guys, a long time known NFL's dirty little secret, linemen and the really big, strong guys die young. They die in their 40s and in their 50s. And a lot of them die with brain trauma. And this doctor pointed it out. Well, Adam Schefter says, you don't have to go see no Will Smith movie. Now, PBS did a documentary about the concussions, and that was enough. It was enough facts. You don't need Will Smith and Hollywood to explain it to you. Adam, shut up. Yeah, we do. We do. You know why? Because no one watches PBS. People don't watch PBS, okay? But they do watch Will Smith movies. And the NFL already put pressure on them and changed the script so that they're not so much the bad guys. But my point is ESPN, they shouldn't even talk about this movie. Why? Because they have a billion-dollar deal with the NFL. So how hard do you think they're going to come out against this? Listen, I'll tell you what I'm happy about. I'm happy that motorcycle racing and car racing that I like isn't really big on the radar. I'm not talking about NASCAR. Some bitch, because that's American, not big on any radar, NASCAR. I'm talking about Formula One racing, where these kids start racing in go-karts when they're kids, at 7 or 8 years old, or MotoGP, where these kids start racing on mini motorcycles at, some of them, 4 or 5 years old, because, man, if the safety moms heard about that, that a kid's riding a motorcycle at 4 years old, well, that would put the end to motorcycles, or we'd be wrapped in an airbag, which in a way you are, because they have suits that actually have airbags in them. It's brilliant technology. Engineers fascinate me. They're geniuses. But I'm getting off point. ESPN, once again, stop it. Go back to sports. Go back to talking about sports. Don't interview each other. I haven't measured, but I would guess, and I'm not going to exaggerate, I would guess there's 12 hours of NFL analysis every day. We analyze you. If we analyzed the gun issue, terrorism, fixing our borders, or any other issue, as much as we analyze the NFL, if everyone knew it as well as we know the NFL, there wouldn't be a Donald Trump. That's for sure. You think they'd accept Donald Trump as a football coach? Are you kidding? If instead of having a nuanced plan of X's and O's drawn up in a playbook about the size of the average phone book, you had some football coach saying, just kill the some bitches who are in the other color uniform. Kill them. And that was his coaching. You think Donald Trump would last as a football coach with no plans, with no ability to answer any intelligent question? He wouldn't last a week. Football is important. Some bitch. Terrorism? Eh, we'll get around to it. But football, don't you fuck around. All right? Imagine that. That would be hilarious watching him try to coach. You see that guy in the other color? Kill him. That's your plan? You'd be out of a job so fast. So we got that going on. Speaking of movies, Star Wars, the new movie's coming out December 17th. They've already sold $50 million in tickets in advance. Good for them. I'm going to see it. Everyone's going to see it. It's going to be a great movie, I think. I love Star Wars. Maybe when it gets closer, I'll get into the racism of people being mad. There's a black stormtrooper. Amazing how people get mad at black people in fantasy movies. But anyway, people are lined up to see the movie. It's coming out in 10 days. People are camped out. Do they not have jobs? That's my only question. What do you do for a living that you can camp out on Hollywood Boulevard in front of a movie theater for 10 days to see a movie? And then what do you do after you've seen it? What do you do? You wait 10 days to see a movie. You see the movie. The movie's 2 hours, maybe 2.5 hours, however long the movie is. And then it's done. Now, what do you do? I don't know. I've never been that guy. I don't know what you do. That for them, if you've camped out for 10 days, I hope it's the greatest movie you've ever seen in your life. I hope it changes your life. And I hope you meet a woman. Okay. Nah, that's not mean. That's real. Speaking of sports, the Golden State Warriors, there are two great stories in sports right now, I think. One is right here in North Carolina, the Carolina Panthers, who are 13-0 now, undefeated. Cam Newton, best quarterback in football. People get mad at Cam Newton for dancing in the end zone. Don't understand that, because nobody celebrates doing their job more than an NFL player. You watch an NFL player do what he's paid to do, tackle somebody, catch the ball, they throw a celebration. But they're mad at Cam Newton, and he keeps giving balls away to kids in the stands. How evil is that, after a touchdown, to give the ball to some kid who's watching the game? That no good sumbitch. Listen, ridiculous. It's a great story. Good for Carolina. Good for the Panthers. Good for the NFL. The other great story, and it kills me to say this because I'm a Clipper fan, but the Golden State Warriors still haven't lost. They're 23-0. They're an NBA basketball team. I don't know if they're going to lose. They may not lose till after Christmas. I don't know what's going on with them. Their star, Steph Curry, is this amazing basketball player. The guy, there's a saying in basketball, he was open as soon as he walked in the gym. With Steph Curry, it's actually true. Steph Curry is shooting jump shots from 30 feet away from the basket. If you don't know anything about basketball, just know that that is an amazing achievement. This guy's great. But here's the great thing about Steph Curry. Reggie Miller played basketball in the 80s, early 90s, in the Jordan era. Reggie Miller was the great, one of the great shooters of all time. I'd say there's Larry Bird, Reggie Miller, Ray Allen, and now we have Steph Curry. These are guys who could shoot three-pointers, shoot with incredible range, shoot under pressure, lead their team. Reggie Miller had a great thing to say. He said, this was, I'm reading a quote. He said, what made Jordan so great was that he could get the ball way up in the air and finish it. In other words, Michael could fly and Michael could dunk. But you don't have to dunk to be like Steph. Every kid looks at Steph and thinks, hey, I can shoot and dribble. I can do that. You don't have to be like Mike anymore. And then this is the part I love. He says, you know what? Mike was an asshole. I was an asshole too. But you don't have to be an asshole to be successful. Steph is living proof. Because Steph Curry's having fun. And he seems to be a nice guy. And he does funny videos. And he has his kid with him when he does, you know, interviews after the game. But I kind of love Reggie saying that you don't have to be an asshole. Because, yeah, Mike was like he'd kill you to win. Reggie was like that. Reggie, no mercy, no mercy. Reggie was not, he's a nice guy and truth, what do they call it? I don't know. I met Reggie. I was on a flight. This was one of my great flights. 3 hours sitting next to Reggie Miller talking basketball. Guy couldn't have been nicer, couldn't have been funnier, and it was great. He's a nice guy, but on the court, not just on the court, during his career, he talked a lot of shit. And back then, he talked a lot of shit about the Knicks when I grew up with the Knicks and was a Knicks fan. So the two of the great shooters of all time are killing me. Reggie Miller, when he used to do it to the Knicks, and now Steph Curry doing it to the Clippers. But respect, Steph, you're great. You're a great shooter. You're a great ball player. You're a nice guy. I would argue that LeBron is in the same category. LeBron is smiling. LeBron's always having fun on the court. He plays with the fans and this and that. But if I were to argue that LeBron James is not an asshole, I'd probably be the only one to say that. I'll say it, though. I'll stick with it because I like LeBron. Speaking of assholes, and I'll wrap up with this, Martin Shkreli, this is the guy who got a pharmacy company and raised the price on drugs for AIDS patients and kids with kidney disease. This is a guy who took a drug that was like $11.95 a pill and raised it up to $700 a pill. Well, he's taken another step in his I'm going to be the world's biggest asshole campaign. He bought the album Once Upon a Time in Shaolin. Now, this is an album, the Wu-Tang Clan, big-time rap group. Okay, They are the Wu. The Wu-Tang Clan made one album. When I say one, I don't mean they recorded one. I mean there's only one of these in existence. And they put it in a vault, and they held back on it for however many years, and they just sold it. And supposedly, this guy bought that album for $2 million. And he refuses to play it. He will not let anyone listen to it. And this is another case of an asshole with a lot of money becomes a bigger asshole. He says, it's mine. I don't have to share it with the world for free. I paid $2 million for it. Well, good. Go play it for yourself. And while you're at it, go play with yourself. Jeez. I don't know. I don't even know what to think. But I do know what to think. He's consistent. He's consistent, right? I mean, this is a guy who will take a drug that people need to stay alive and raise the price on it 700%. You think he's going to release a record that he paid $2 million for free? No. Good for him. Merry Christmas. I started talking about the mass shootings and the guns and Trump and the Tea Party, and I get tired of it. So I skipped over the one story that I loved and that I definitely wanted to talk about this week. So I'm going to talk about it now, because here's the thing. We have two sides. We have one side that loves guns but doesn't like abortions. We have another side that's okay with abortion, doesn't like guns. How about we combine the two? In what I consider just absolute brilliance, Missouri State Representative Stacey Newman introduced a bill with a simple premise. What if the process to buy guns in America was as difficult as the one to get an abortion? Now, you've heard me talk about it before. I thought getting a gun should be like driving, be like buying a car. You have to register it. You have to have insurance. You have to notify the government when you sell it to someone else. But this is even better. She says that, well, we should be as obsessive about guns as we are about reproductive justice, women's rights, et cetera, et cetera. So what if you had to go through the same process to get a gun that you do to get an abortion, okay? And here's what's involved. She's, I love this. First, you have to confer and discuss with a licensed physician the indicators and contraindicators and risk factors, including physical, psychological, and situational factors that may arise with the purchase of a firearm. You have to submit to an evaluation by the physician to search for indicators and contraindicators and risk factors to determine if the firearm purchase would increase the purchaser's risk of experiencing adverse physical, emotional, or other health reactions. You have to listen to oral statements regarding the risks associated with the purchase of a firearm. You have to submit the name and license number of the licensed firearm dealer, the immediate and long-term risks associated with firearms, along with medical descriptions, photographs of fatal firearm injuries. You have to look at all of that. You have to talk about alternatives to purchasing a firearm, which shall include materials about peaceful and nonviolent conflict resolution. A statement that the firearms dealer is available to answer any questions concerning the purchase of a firearm, together with the telephone number of the firearms dealer, that the dealer may be reached at any time to answer any question. The prospective firearm purchaser shall obtain written consent of his or her parents in order to qualify for the purchase of the firearm. You have to watch a 30-minute video on fatal firearm injuries. You have to verify in writing by a license. It has to be verified in writing by a licensed physician that the purchaser has toured an emergency trauma center in the nearest qualified hospital on a weekend between the hours of 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. when gun victim violence are present. Within 72 hours of a firearm purchase, the prospective purchaser must meet with at least two families who have been victims of violence involving a firearm. And finally, in order to get the gun, you have to walk through a gauntlet of people holding photos of loved ones who were shot to death. People will yell at him, calling him a murderer, and beg him to not buy a gun. Makes perfect sense to me. Let's make buying a gun as difficult as getting an abortion. Too much common sense. It just won't happen. But I like it. As I said, I am at Good Nights in Raleigh this weekend. Next weekend, the weekend before Christmas, I will be at Tommy T's in Pleasanton. Speaking of the Golden State Warriors, Pleasanton is right outside of Oakland. Man, I'm just going to be buried in this Golden State. I know a lot of you don't care, but I'm a sports fan. And so I'm going to be at Tommy T's in Pleasanton. And I love this, and a lot of you guys listen to Wait Wait, you'll love this too. I just booked my first half of the year for Wait Wait. I'm going to be on every month. One show a month from February through July. I think that's great. So once a month next year, I'll be doing Wait Wait. You know, they book half the year. I'm booked. It's going to be a lot of fun. I love you guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for paying attention. I will try to stay, I'll stay funny and Christmassy. And I hope you're drinking from Starbucks red cups. See you next week.